Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
History tells the story of the world and of our lives. Sometimes that history goes bump in the night. Broadcasting from the center of oddity and the supernatural in Central Florida, it's the History Goes Bump podcast.
Hello, you spooktacular people. Welcome to History Goes Bump Redux. I am your host, Diane.
And this is Kelly.
Kelly, on this Redux, we're going back to a little intimate location in San Francisco called Alcatraz.
Sweet.
Have you ever been to Alcatraz?
I've just been by it on a boat with my parents.
Well, that's closer than me. I haven't even been anywhere near San Francisco, and I have a feeling I never will. Are you ready to go back?
I'm ready. About 1.5 miles off the shores of San Francisco, California, lies a rocky island with an infamous name, Alcatraz. Many people know it by its nickname, The Rock. Some of the most notorious criminals in American history were sent to the prison built on this island because of the impossibility of escape. But long before infamous criminals like Al Capone, Machine Gun Kelly, and Robert Birdman Stroud called Alcatraz home, there was a lighthouse and a military prison here. Many desperate souls whiled away their lives on Alcatraz Island, and many of those souls seem to have stayed. Some claim a portal exists on the island. Join us as we explore the history and hauntings of Alcatraz.
Alcatraz was first discovered by a Spaniard named Juan Manuel de Ayala in 1775. The island was covered in birds, particularly pelicans, and so Ayala named the island La Isla de los Alcatraces. Alcatraces translates to pelican in English and was anglicized to Alcatraz later. Native Americans, specifically the Miwok, had known about the island for centuries before the Spanish. They had used the desolate island with the sheer rocky sides as a place of banishment. The tribes believed evil spirits lurked on the island, so it was a fitting place for those that broke tribal law. But they also gathered food there in the form of sea life and bird eggs. The Mexican government gave Alcatraz to a man named Julian Workman and instructed him to build a lighthouse on the island. Workman did not bother with a lighthouse. He instead gave the island to his son-in-law, Francis P. Temple, who also did nothing with the island. In 1847, the governor of California, John Charles Fremont, bought the island from Temple so that the government could build the lighthouse. That lighthouse was completed in 1853, but the Fresnel lenses were not installed until 1854, and the lighthouse was lit for the first time.
In 1853, the island was fortified by the Army Corps of Engineers. The island was a natural defense for the bay, and it was decided that a fort should be built upon it. They called it Fort Alcatraz, and it housed 200 soldiers and 11 cannons. Work on the fort had been arduous, and no one is exactly sure how the team of 35 workers came and went from the island on a daily basis. Construction was hampered by the rock of the island as it crumbled easily. A plan to build a ditch around the fort was ditched as well.
I love how you put that.
When it was discovered, it would make the island unstable. Costs rose as the fort was extended to compensate for instability. The buildings were built from sandstone at first because brick was hard to come by in the West. Bluestone, also known as granite, was considered for material as well. In the end, Alcatraz was built mainly from sandstone, concrete, and brick, while the granite was used for the South Battery. In 1857, the first fatalities occurred on the island. Two workmen were buried under a massive landslide. 77 years of military administration began at Alcatraz starting in 1859.
During the Civil War, Alcatraz was used as an armory to keep weapons out of Confederate hands. 85 cannons were also installed at the fortification. The fort had its first stint as a military prison for Confederate sympathizers and privateers at this time. In 1870, portions of Alcatraz were flattened in an attempt to level the island and build underground tunnels and magazines. After starting this plan at the southern tip of the island, it was abandoned as an impossibility. The entire complex was revamped and restored from 1869 to 1876, and it took on permanent use as a military prison. The Spanish-American War caused the prison population to burgeon. Later, some civilian prisoners were brought to Alcatraz because of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. This was a minimum security prison at the time. The concrete main cell block that we all know today was started in 1909 and completed in 1912.
In October of 1933, the military handed over Alcatraz to the Bureau of Prisons, and it became a civilian prison at that time. Because of the location of the jail on the rugged island, it was decided that the prison was well suited for the worst offenders. San Franciscans were not happy with the plan to house the worst of the worst off their shores. Unbelievably, at least 17 military prisoners successfully escaped Alcatraz. This would not be the case after Alcatraz became a federal penitentiary, as we'll discuss later. It was not always the worst criminals that found themselves in Alcatraz. Conscientious objectors were sent there during World War I. Generally, if a prisoner ended up at Alcatraz, it was because he had caused trouble at another prison. Staff was trained in security, but not rehabilitation. The first group of 137 prisoners arrived in 1934 to find the prison fortified in a way it had never been before. Double-grating cell bar walls were installed as well as plate doors. Everything was built tool-proof. The mess hall and main entrance had been rigged with ceilings that had built-in tear gas canisters that could be remotely activated. Good grief. Employees of the jail lived on the island with their families.
The federal penitentiary ran for 29 years. During that time, 14 escape attempts were made by 36 convicts. None of them succeeded. 23 were captured before they could escape. The rest did not fare as well. 6 were shot to death, 2 drowned, and another 5 went missing and were presumed drowned. One of the most famous of these escapes has been studied for years, as some people believe that this escape was actually successful. Ted Cole and Ralph Rowe were convicted bank robbers from Oklahoma. They each had attempted to escape from McAllister Prison, so they were sent to Leavenworth Prison and eventually transferred to Alcatraz in 1936. The men got together and devised a well-planned escape. They'd used a hacksaw blade to weaken the window bars of a window at the mat shop that they worked in and used grease and shoe polish to disguise the damage. They climbed through the window on December 16, 1937 and made their way to the water's edge. They then disappeared into San Francisco Bay. They were declared missing, but stories came out 4 years later reporting the men were seen in South America. And then the other, which is an even more well-known prison escape, happened in June of 1962. This was Clarence Anglin, John Anglin, and Frank Morris. And it was late on the night of June 11th or early in the morning of June 12th that the three men, they'd made paper mache heads of themselves and put them in the bed so that the prison guards wouldn't know that they'd gotten out of their beds.
Right.
So every time they came by to check, they thought there was somebody in there. There were actually 4 men who were going to make the break, but only 3 of them actually went through with it. And what they did is they widened the ventilation ducts beneath their sinks because they had cells that were right next to each other. And then they used saw blades that they found on the prison grounds and metal spoons from the mess hall and even an electric drill that they had improvised from the motor of a vacuum cleaner to make their way through these ventilation ducts and make the walls bigger, the holes in the walls bigger. They concealed their work with painted cardboard and masked the noise with Morris's accordion. So he would play his accordion while the others were digging. Once the holes were wide enough to pass through, the men accessed the unguarded utility corridor behind their cell tier and climbed to the vacant top level of the cell block. They set up a clandestine workshop up there. They had 50 raincoats that they had stolen, and they made life preservers out of them. and Morris actually got the idea from a 1962 issue of Popular Mechanics. They assembled a 6x14-foot rubber raft, the seams carefully stitched by hand and sealed with liquid plastic that was available in the shops that they worked in, and then they used heat from nearby steam pipes. They made paddles out of plywood and screws, putting them together that way. They climbed a ventilation shaft to the roof, removed the rivets, holding a large fan in place. Guards did hear a loud crash as they broke out of the shaft, but nothing further was heard, so they just was like, meh. Probably wasn't anything major.
No big deal.
Then the guys hauled their gear with them. They went 50 feet to the ground by sliding down a kitchen vent pipe. They climbed 2 12-foot barbed wire perimeter fences. At the northeast shoreline, near where they had this power plant, there was a blind spot in the cameras, so they couldn't see them. So they inflated their raft with a concertina that they had stolen from another inmate and modified to serve as a bellows. At some time after 10 p.m., they boarded the raft, launched it, and departed toward Angel Island, which was 2 miles to the north. They didn't find out that they had even left until later on that morning. And I do believe the raft washed up at some point. So they were like, oh, these guys probably drowned or something. And Josh Gates even did an expedition episode about this, trying to find these guys and figure out, did they survive? There is actually a warrant still out for their arrest that will expire in 2030. They'll be about 100 years old if they get them back then. And there were people who said that these guys also had made their way to South America, that Clarence Anglin was living in Brazil, and he sent cards back to his family letting them know that he was alive. So that's what made them think he was alive. So it's an interesting case.
Many infamous gangsters spent time in Alcatraz. Everybody knows that Al Capone spent time there, but there was also Machine Gun Kelly, Mickey Cohen, Alvin Creepy Karpus, and James Whitey Bulger. Capone had been a master manipulator when it came to prison, and he managed to get lots of extra perks, including furnishings for his cell. This was not the case at Alcatraz. Capone was prisoner 85AZ, living in cell B181. There were no special privileges. Capone spent 4.5 years at Alcatraz and was even stabbed while there. He told the warden one day, "It looks like Alcatraz has got me licked." His syphilis became symptomatic in the latter part of his stay at Alcatraz.
And now a little break for a word about one of our sponsors.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alcatraz was tough for everyone there. A prisoner had a right to food, medical care, clothing, and shelter, but that was it. Anything else was a privilege, and daily life was very monotonous. Some prisoners were sent to the strip cell. This was an isolation cell. Prisoners were forced to strip naked before entering the cell, and they were given only bread and water while in there. And Kelly, as we know through our travels into all these jails, that basically is concrete to the human digestive system.
Right.
The cell was dark, had no sink, and a hole in the floor served as a toilet. A step up were 5 cells dubbed the hole. These cells had a sink, light bulb, and a toilet, but they were isolated. There are stories that some inmates were tortured.
In 1946, one escape attempt led to the Battle of Alcatraz. Bernard Paul Coy had shimmied up a gallery and pried apart the cell bars. He had covered himself in axle grease and dieted down so that he fit through the bars.
That's one way to get through.
He had spent months studying the routine of the guards. He grabbed a club, surprised a guard, and nearly beat him to death. Coy then lowered guns and keys down to some accomplices. 9 unarmed guards were captured and locked in cells. The escape attempt was foiled when one of the guards hid the main key that Coy needed in a toilet.
Yummy.
Joseph Kretzer, one of the escapees, took his rage out on the jailed officers and opened fire on one of the cells. Gunfire was exchanged and another officer was hit and killed. The Marines were called in to help rescue the captured officers and restore order. The battle lasted 48 hours. 2 officers and 3 inmates died during the fight.
The prison was closed on March 21, 1963, due to saltwater deterioration and the expense of running a place like Alcatraz. Native American activists took over Alcatraz in November 1969 to protest government actions against Native Americans. The Treaty of Fort Laramie was signed in 1868, and this was an agreement between the United States and the Lakota people, Yanktonai Dakota, and the Arapaho Nation. This agreement basically said that retired, abandoned, or out-of-use federal land would go back to the indigenous people who had occupied it previously. Since Alcatraz had been shut down, Native Americans decided they should take a stand and occupy it with the treaty as their support. The protest was led by Lineta Means and Richard Oakes. They occupied the island with 87 other Native Americans and some of their supporters. The protest lasted for 19 months. At the height of the occupation, there were 400 people. In May 1971, the government cut off power and telephone service to the island, and a fire broke out shortly thereafter, destroying multiple buildings. Without power and water and lack of support, the occupiers finally gave up. But it definitely left a legacy.
The apartments and other housing units were reduced to rubble after the protests to prevent future use by activists. In 1972, Alcatraz became part of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Tours are offered of the jail and island, although none of them are specifically ghost tours. There are evening ferry trips and tours, though. Alcatraz is thought to be one of the more haunted prisons in America. Full-bodied apparitions are seen of both inmates and guards. The smell of smoke permeates corridors every so often. The corridor where the escaped inmates hold up during the Battle of Alcatraz is the scene of hauntings witnessed by park employees. They claim to hear clanging, and when they enter the corridor, the noise stops. It resumes when they walk away. Once, when the warden was giving a tour, sobs could be heard and a cold wind blew by the group. The warden did not believe in ghosts, but he could not explain what had caused the weird experience.
A prisoner was locked up in the hole in cell 14D sometime in the 40s. Guards heard him screaming, and when they checked on him, he begged to be taken out of the cell. He claimed he had seen something with glowing eyes. The guards did not believe him and left him in the cell, ignoring his incessant screaming throughout the night. Eventually, he quieted down. The next morning, the guards found him dead with an expression of terror frozen on his face. An autopsy revealed he had been strangled. No guard claimed responsibility. The next day, when a headcount was taken, there was an extra inmate who later disappeared. Cell 14D is often cold, and people claim there's an oppressive feeling within the cell.
A.B. Moldowitz was a gangster who was locked up in cell Block C. His brutal ways earned him the nickname The Butcher. Another prisoner in cell Block C killed him. A psychic claimed that she was hearing from someone in the jail claiming to be The Butcher. The spirit is frightening. The Butcher is not the only gangster hanging around in the afterlife. Al Capone gets around quite a bit, and Alcatraz is apparently another one of his haunts. Al liked to play his banjo in the shower room. Visitors and employees sometimes hear the strumming of a banjo when near the shower room.
One of the more famous ghost prisoners here is Ruth McCain. He has been seen or felt many times. The signs of his presence include such things as his old cell remaining ice cold. People feel very strong emotions when they step into that cell, and some old guards reportedly saw glowing red eyes coming out of the cell when it was an active prison. A strange murder that occurred during the active prison years gave more fodder to the story that McCain was still haunting the area because guards blamed his ghost for committing the act. Ghost Adventures investigated in 2013. The guys heard bangs and screams, and Billy felt very uncomfortable in cell 14. They captured an EVP saying, "Come back.
Come back.
Oh. Be sure to bring your death certificate. The obelisk gave the words fire, threshold, doctor, opening, mist, and touch. When that mist word came across, a camera captured a mist-like ball heading down to a room. Two different light energies were captured in cell 13. Jay also felt uncomfortable in there. Ghost Hunters visited during season 6 on their 100th episode, and they did a live interactive event with it. Steve and Tango smelled soap in the hospital cell where Birdman Stroud spent 11 years. He was a neat freak and showered regularly and shaved his entire body.
All right.
They thought perhaps the Birdman was visiting. There have been reports of an apparition in this cell. The group captured an EVP saying, "Harry Burnett, 374. Checking prison rolls, they do find a Harry Burnett, and 374 was his number.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Troy Taylor on his website prairieghost.com writes, according to sources, a number of guards who served between 1946 and 1963 experienced strange happenings on Alcatraz. From the grounds of the prison to the caverns beneath the buildings, there was often talk of people sobbing and moaning, inexplicable smells, cold spots, and spectral apparitions. Even guests and families who lived on the island claimed to occasionally see the ghostly forms of prisoners and even phantom soldiers. Phantom gunshots were known to send seasoned guards cringing on the ground in the belief that the prisoners had escaped and obtained weapons. There was never an explanation. A deserted laundry room would sometimes fill with the smell of smoke, even though nothing was burning. The guards would be sent running from the room, only to return later and find that the air was clear.
Mark Twain visited Alcatraz and wrote that the experience left him feeling weird and described it as being as cold as winter, even in the summer months. Nearly every guard who worked at Alcatraz had some kind of unexplained experience. The intense feelings experienced at Alcatraz have left something to linger. What that is, no one can know for sure. Do the evil spirits that the Native Americans claim lived on the island actually exist? Have former prisoners from the military days and the civilian days decided to stay in the afterlife? Is Alcatraz haunted?
That is for you to decide.
Thanks so much for joining us on This Redux. I've been your host, Diane.
And this has been Kelly.
You take care now.
Bye-bye.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.